Hi, I'm Edwin.
And I'm Andrew.
Sound the battle cry.
Two men.
15 minutes.
Eternal impact.
Welcome to Text Talk.
For the Lord, gird your armor on, stand firm, everyone. Rest your cause.
It's Wednesday,
middle of the week.
The hump day, if you will.
Yes,
we're up over the hump.
Yes, it is.
Rolling downhill for the rest of the week.
And we are actually right in the middle of Revelation 3.
We certainly are. We're looking in our second of three churches that we're talking about this
and
week.
As we learn about the Church of Brotherly Love in the mm-hmm. City of Brotherly Love, I do need to know if you have any Brotherly Love socks on.
I have some pretty fun loving socks, I will
oh,
say
what do you got?
That.
What do you got?
I've got Pac-Man today.
Pac-Man?
Pac-Man socks.
Gobbling up the ghosts?
Yeah, yeah. Getting the little power pellets.
But are they holy ghosts? No, of course not. Those
no,
are those are terrible.
They're multicolored ghosts. They're kind of a precursor to Google ghosts, I think.
Okay, very good.
Pac-Man's going to get all those primary colors.
Yeah,
eat them up.
Yeah. So I do have some Brotherly Love socks on today These are socks that were given to me by my brethren who love me. So I've worn them before. These are my Legolas socks. I'm like an elf having stepped out of the woodland realm into the studio to talk about Philadelphia.
Well, you know, and I got to tell you, you know, sometimes the way you're describing this picture of the groom and the bride and the monsters, I'm picking up some Tolkien there.
Yeah,
I think you kind of see it in some of those ways, some of those terms.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay. That would get me down a rabbit hole here that we need to come back and talk about the bride.
I don't know, though. People have sat up because they're like, he just said Tolkien.
He just said,
is everyone going to take the bait?
Let's read about Philadelphia in Revelation chapter 3. All right. Verse 7 from the English Standard Version. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, the words of the Holy One, the true one, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you've kept my word and have not denied my name. Behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not but lie, behold, I'll make them come and bow down before your feet, and they will learn that I have loved you. Because you have kept my word about patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell on the earth. I'm coming soon. Hold fast what you have so that no one may seize your crown. The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it, and I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
So Philadelphia is one of two churches we're reading in Revelation 2 and 3. That the Lord has good things to say about.
Only good things.
Only good things. Most of these churches seem to be in a real difficult situation, and a lot of apostasy and sin being countenanced and all such as that. But here is this city of brotherly love, and the angel of the church has good things to say.
The first thing that stands out to me is you have little power.
Okay.
Little power. And yet, despite having little power, this church used her power to glorify God.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the most fantastic lessons that we need to learn. It may be one of the greatest lessons that we need to learn regarding these letters that Jesus is writing to his bride. Because I can be like, well, if only I had this ability, I had that ability, if only I could do this, if only I could do this as well as Andrew, if only I could do this as well as brother over here, if only I could do this as well as sister over there, that then I could really bring glory to God. And it makes me wonder if, like, Philadelphia, looking back at the church of Sardis, and, you know, because Sardis had a reputation,
sure.
So to Philadelphia, to these other churches, Sardis looked like she was great. If Philadelphia might be, man, if only I had as much as Sardis had, if I had that, then I could really do some good stuff.
Right.
But what Jesus points out is you've had a little power, but how have they used that strength? How have they used that power? They've used it to bring glory to God, to stay faithful, to stay true. And that's what I need to remember.
Or even in contrast to Revelation 2 in the first church we talked about with Ephesus, their issue was they had left their first love.
Yeah.
They were another one that had done many works and they were well known and it's a prominent church. But they left their first love. Now we come to the city of brotherly love, and we find that their love is active for one another and with the opportunities they have. You know, when you talk about the church being called of small power, I'm reminded of the encouragement of the prophet Zechariah, don't despise the day of small things.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that when God sees faithfulness, he can do huge things with it.
Yes.
But you need to begin. You need to get started
yeah.
in your obedience and in his work. And like you said, I mean, we might just look at our first beginnings as very humble and maybe even disappointing to ourselves
sure.
in some ways.
Yeah.
But not to be discouraged from following and being faithful, because God can do so much.
Well, Jesus himself speaks of his entire kingdom as starting like a seed as small as a mustard seed, but it's going to grow to have the birds of the air. This picture of just an incredible, crazy amount of growth coming out of it, pulling these pictures from the Old Testament of huge oak trees
yeah.
coming from like a seed as small as a mustard seed. And just an amazing thing. God can do amazing things with small churches. He can do amazing things with young Christians. He can do amazing mm-hmm. things with Christians who are just getting started. He can do amazing things. It just takes, the issue is not how much power do I have. The issue is just, what am I going to do
yeah.
with what I have?
That's
huge. What am I going to do with this faith that I have? What am I going to do with the strength that God has given me? What am I going to do with the resources God has given me? I'm going to use them for God. I'm going to use them for his glory. And that puts Philadelphia in an amazing spot
mm-hmm.
because what they've done is they've kept his word with patient endurance, and his word about patient. It's not been easy for them. They haven't done it because it's easy. It's been patient endurance.
Well, when I couple with that, with the end of verse 8, you have kept my word and have not denied my name.
Mm.
I am reminded that these churches and these towns in Asia Minor, I can't remember if we said this on the air or not, but some people wonder, is this a postal route? You know, is it, they're all within a few miles
yeah.
of each other, and so this is going to be a letter in circulation.
Yes.
I say all that to say, when you realize how much persecution the other churches nearby are facing, it's not like Philadelphia is not going to happen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, but you've kept the word and you have not denied my name. And that was the deal with persecution. They were trying to get them to recant. They were trying to get them to deny the name of Christ, and they refused to do it. And we also see one of the actors that's been named before in troubling the churches, the synagogue of Satan.
Right.
This idea of, you know, my take on that is, professing Jews saying that they're being faithful to the ways of God, but they're not actually serving God. They're
right.
actually serving the liar. They're serving the murderer, the one who's wanting to bring the persecution against the saints. And Philadelphia's had to deal with them.
Right. And that the other church that dealt with them was Smyrna.
Yes.
The other congregation that only had good things said about them.
That's
and
right.
so this is interesting that both of these churches deal with the synagogue of the accuser,
mm-hmm.
If you will, of the hater, of the one who's going to hate against them, the one who's going to bring these false statements against them. So Philadelphia's been through it.
Yeah.
They haven't had just a coast. They've been through it. They've had these people who have lied about them, who have come against them, and what Jesus says is they will bow before you.
Right.
They will realize, no, I have loved you. And I think that's something for churches to realize today.
Mm.
We've got a lot of people in our world that want to take a look at faithful churches. Now look, if there's a church that's being hateful, if there is a church that is being wicked, that is being false, they don't get to say, oh, look at all the world, it hates us, we must be doing right.
Sure.
We don't want to say that. But when we are serving the Lord, if we can show from the word, we're doing what the word says, we're teaching what the word says, we do need to understand the world is going to look at us. People who claim that they're following God will look at us, and they will call us names. And just like we saw with Smyrna in the last chapter, they will attack, they will accuse, but it'll be false.
Mm-hmm.
And what we need to do is hang on with patient endurance. We don't need to compromise with that. We don't need to just go along and coexist and tolerate with that. I mean, we're going to live in the world where that's happening. So
sure.
if that's what we mean by coexistence. Yes, but what our world means by coexistence.
Bumper sticker
yeah.
coexistence?
What our world, when they have the coexist bumper sticker, they're like, oh, no, it's all just good. Don't say anything. No, we're going to stay true to the Lord.
Absolutely, we're going to stay true to the Lord. But it's going to bring pushback.
It is going to bring pushback.
It's going to stir up persecution.
Now here, and maybe this, I don't know, I said a few minutes ago the greatest lesson, but then I think, well, maybe this is the greatest lesson, because I do find an interesting contrast between Smyrna and Philadelphia. Because both of these churches are churches that have been faithful. They've been faithful in the face of the synagogue of Satan. Smyrna, though, got told, you're about to get tested for 10 days. And it sure looks like Jesus is saying to Philadelphia, I'm actually going to keep you from the testing.
It does, doesn't it?
And some would suggest that the preposition here really just means he's going to keep them through the testing. And maybe that's what it means.
Okay.
So that's possible. But boy, it really is from. It's from.
It is from.
Ek. That's keep you out of. I'm going to keep you from the testing. It sure seems like he's saying he's going to give something to Philadelphia that he wasn't giving to Smyrna. Smyrna's going to face the testing for 10 days. There's going to be some thrown into prison, and they need to stay true. Philadelphia, they're going to get to avoid that in some way. There's something that they escape from that the others are getting.
Well, what a great lesson there is for us to not make the mistake of assuming that all of our external situation is declaring our spiritual reality and the way God looks at us. And also to say that, well, you know, if we are facing a difficult circumstance that another brother is spared, it doesn't mean that God loves him more or loves me less.
Yeah.
It's just in his way. It's in his plan, and he's going to keep us. Well, regardless,
I think about that time when Jesus had expressed to Peter at the end of the Gospel of John that we read just a few weeks ago, and he says, look, they're going to tie up your hands, they're going to bind you and carry you where you don't want to go, thus signifying how he was going to die. And of course, Peter immediately turns around and sees John and says, what about that guy?
What about that guy?
And Jesus' response to him is, look, if I want him to live until I return, what's that to you? You just follow me.
Just follow me.
You know, there it is on the individual level. Here it is on the congregational level. We don't need to be in competition with other congregations.
No.
Now, you know, another congregation may have resources that we don't get. Another congregation may not go through some of the hardship that we go through. And it's, hey, as a congregation, follow him. Mm-hmm. Follow Jesus. That's what we're supposed to do. We don't need to get caught up in that competitive battle.
Well, I was just going to say, so Smyrna is being told you're going to get more tribulation.
Yeah.
Be faithful unto death. I will give you the crown of life. Here with Philadelphia, you will be kept from it, but there's also the reward in verse 11. I'm coming quickly. Hold fast what you have so that no one will take your crown.
Yeah.
We have the same reward.
Well, so let's back up before we get to the reward. Let's also recognize, actually, we still have the same danger.
Mm.
Because what can happen, even though Philadelphia is being kept from the testing, somebody can actually still take their crown.
Mm.
They can still give it up. He says you need to hold on to it. And I think that's an important thing.
Yeah.
We tend to think that it's the church that has the tribulation that's going to have the harder time. But God demonstrates to Philadelphia, even though they're not going to be in a time of significant testing like Smyrna is, they can still let go of their crown if they're not careful. They can still, people can come along and take it away from them if they're not careful. In fact, I wonder if Philadelphia is not actually in more danger. Because Smyrna, going through the persecution, that's when you're like, okay, we got to keep up our guard.
Know.
This is hard. I think about the American church that, you know, for so long had not been through persecution. And I watched what happened in what we would call, in a very general sense, American Christianity. I'm like, I think there's a whole lot of churches that have given up their crown because it's just been easy.
Yeah.
As opposed to keeping their guard up. Does that make sense? I mean, you see that?
It does make sense. And even within this context, in verse 8, when he applauds them, or I should say commends them, they had not denied the name. They had to go through testing and hold fast. Here at the end, there's the warning again. Don't give it up.
Don't give it up.
Because you've been faithful in the past, because you have come through a persecution in the past, doesn't mean there's not going to be another one. Doesn't mean you don't have the challenge and the choice today.
Yeah.
And you can't rest on that laurel.
You cannot. Yeah. In fact, what that made me think of the idea that, you look, resting on our laurels can actually make us lose them.
Mm-hmm.
Because laurels, by the way, is
the crown.
It's the crown. A lot of people don't understand that idiom. It's the crown. And so they're like, yes, I have the crown. I have the achievement. I'm good. And then it gets taken away.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's a dangerous thing. And when it gets easy, sometimes we can start to slide and coast and drift away. So there's still danger. Philadelphia still has to stay true, and we need to remember that as well. Well, let's go ahead and wrap up. I think it's your turn to lead us out in prayer, brother.
Our great God and Father, we thank you for brothers and sisters in Christ. May we always have brotherly love. We pray, Father, that we might not enter into a spirit of jealousy, envy, competition when we look around at other Christians and other churches and what they have and some of those talents, but be truly mindful and thankful for what you have given us. And whether in our estimation it is a small power like Philadelphia or whether it is a great power, Father, whatever you have given us, may we be faithful stewards of it and faithful unto the end. Father, we trust you to lead us this day. Please keep us from the evil one. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks for talking about the text with us today. I'm Edwin Crozier, and I'd like to invite you to join the Christians who meet on Livingston Avenue in Lutz, Florida, this Sunday for our Bible classes and worship. You can find out more at ChristiansMeetHere.org. Check out our daily written devotional that goes along with today's episode. You can find a link for it in our show notes. Michael Eldridge sang all four parts of our theme song. You can get more from him at acapeldridge.com. Please remember to subscribe, rate, and review Text Talk in your favorite podcast app so others can find it and learn about it more easily. Have a fantastic day.
Steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna. Christ is captain of the mighty throne.